Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, February 10th, 7:32 Central Time. Joining me in studio this morning, some of our friends from Humanitry. We have the Director of Development, Amy Kaufman. Amy, it's so good to have you in studio this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Sharon Rohrbach, correct?
Correct.
Sharon, good to have you here today. You're the Interim Executive Director at Humanitry.
Yes.
Glad to have you here today and to share some time talking about Humanitry. For our listeners not familiar with Humanitry, Amy, how would you describe what Humanitry is as an organization and what is the main purpose of Humanitry?
Well, Humanitry is a St. Louis-based RSO, Lutheran Social Service Organization, that seeks to move families and individuals from crisis and uncertainty to stability and self-sufficiency. We connect with clients during some of their darkest times. Mm-hmm. And staff, we walk alongside them, providing for their needs and teaching them new skills so that they can move on into a successful life. We offer a variety of programs. Mm-hmm. We have our transitional housing program. It offers up to 24 months of transitional housing, job placement, counseling, spiritual care. The Next Steps Home program is our ex-offender program. We reunite ex-offenders to the community and to their families. And then we also have jail chaplaincy, which provides spiritual care, one-on-one counseling, Bible study, and baptisms. And we leverage these programs as along with external partnerships to enable our clients to become effective stewards in their own lives and families.
Now, you mentioned that Humanitry provides services, helps serve clients in some of their darkest days, some of their darkest times. Mm-hmm. What are some of those circumstances that we might consider some of the darkest times in life where Humanitry meets mm-hmm. clients and helps them?
Well, for example, our transitional housing program, mm-hmm. we work with the homeless families in the city of St. Louis. So if you can imagine having a family, having children, and not having a place to live, mm-hmm. Some are out on the street and they're looking for shelter. So that is a very, very dark time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For our jail chaplaincy, those individuals are inmates, are actually incarcerated. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine I've never experienced that, but I can imagine that would be a dark time, even just to get there, what you had to do to get there, as well as our ex-offender program coming out of that situation, mm-hmm. but then trying to be accepted back into society and get a job and housing. That can be very discouraging if you don't have help along the way to kind of direct you and give you support.
How do you go about serving these clients? How do you go about building relationships and meeting their needs? The word holistic has come up before. How do you go about meeting these needs, helping these clients take a new step?
Well, I would say, first of all, our programs are never cookie cutter. We treat each individual. And who do we serve? We serve people. That's who we serve. And we treat them as the individuals that they are. So we don't just, for example, our transitional housing, we don't just say, okay, you need a job, you need to save your money, you need to pay off your debt, now you can get into housing. We connect with them. You know, we bring them in, we do an interview. Mm-hmm. You know, as I was a case manager at one point in time, you have to kind of make them feel comfortable. It takes a while to earn their trust.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get that, we can look at not just maybe that parent or that one individual. We have to look at the family as a whole. It's very difficult for parents or a single mother to concentrate on budgeting when maybe their child is struggling in school or getting bullied or there's some other aspect mm-hmm. that is diverting their attention somewhere else. So we have to work with everything that's going on with their life. We also have a chaplain on our board. So he is also able to work with their spiritual needs. I would say that's probably one of our, as a case manager, that was probably one of my biggest things is having that conversation with individuals because they are in that dark spot and they're wondering, why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. What is going on? You know, where is God right now?
Mm.
So we try to form those relationships with individuals. And if there's something that we can't provide directly, we resource it out or we give them referrals. And a lot of times we become the individual that they call before they call 911.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to form all these relationships and it's great to see the successes.
Mm-hmm.
That really is very heartwarming. You know, at the end of the day, I can go home and say, no matter what happens, my life, it's good. It's good.
You've mentioned in the conversation, you've mentioned caseworkers and chaplains. Who are the people who all make up Humanitree to care for these clients, these very people that you say, that as you describe it, that you serve? You mentioned caseworkers, one or two caseworkers. Oh, you mentioned you have a chaplain. And we've talked with your jail chaplain before here.
Yes, Reverend Vince Stanley. Mm-hmm. He's in our St. Louis County Justice Center. So, and he is wonderful. Mm-hmm. So he is out there servicing the inmates, and he's also going and working with their families, if need be, and going into churches and working with other pastors to kind of connect them mm-hmm. with inmates inside. We have case managers for our transitional housing program. Each individual is assigned one case manager, and that's a person who will walk with them mm-hmm. Through the entire 24-month process. And then we also have one case manager for our Next Steps Homes program, and that is an 18-month process. So that one individual will be that one person who they work with. But we also have a program manager. We have myself. We all, if we can step in and help somebody, if mm-hmm. they need it, if someone is missing for a day, we all can step in. We all get to know the families. We know who they are. They come into our office. We go into their homes. And then we have our executive who's helping us lead the way. So, and then we have our different variety of board members as well who come from all walks of life. So it's just a group of amazing people trying to help individuals out there.
Now, Sharon, I know that you're fairly new with Humanitree. What was the draw for you? Why did you consider coming to Humanitree and being a part of this team that cares for people?
I'm a member of Christ Memorial Lutheran, and we had Humanitree come in and make a presentation. And I heard Amy's story, and Amy, who's with us today, was a formerly homeless mom. And she told her story, and I really felt called to help this agency in any way that I could. And I love the work. I love meeting people's needs when they really have no place else to turn. I think it's truly, truly the Lord's work. And I was looking for a way to get involved. And there became an opportunity for an interim executive director. And in my former life, I was the founder and executive director of Nurses for Newborns for 20 years. And so I was very excited to have the opportunity to come and see what I could do to further the work.
How do you, Amy, as you were describing some of the situations, some of the scenarios that individuals and families face, they seem, I'm sure from their perspective, seem like impossible situations. Mm-hmm. Everything just seems impossible, hopeless. Where does it begin? Where do those conversations begin? What does it look like when you meet a new client, when they come to your door, when they come to the office or get in touch with you? Where does that all begin, and how do you go about from there?
Well, the different programs have different ways for people coming into our program. Mm-hmm. For the homeless families in our transitional housing, they have to come from a shelter. So they luckily, in that sense, they've kind of already been working with someone. Mm-hmm. But when they walk through our doors, our Next Up Home program, they can self-refer. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that will be their first time working with someone in this capacity. But when they come in, we try to first make them feel welcomed. Mm-hmm. Not, we don't judge. That's our number one rule. We are non-judgmental. We're just here to listen to their story and see if that there is a way that we are able to help them. And one of the first steps is to welcome them, not be judgmental, and then to let them know there is hope. There is hope, and that things can settle down. There is a direction in which they can go in a positive way. It's going to be hard work. Mm-hmm. We do let them know that, you know, it isn't easy, but you know, it's all about the climb. And then what is at the top of that mountain once you get there? And that we're here to help them and support them.
There's hope without judgment. It's going to be hard work, but we're here to help along the way. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue talking with our friends from Humanitree. I hope you can stick around and continue the conversation with us right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. I'm William Wheaton, LCMS Director of Worship. We romp through the sacred scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. Our next study will tackle Jesus and the Sabbath, and what on earth is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit?
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit CUW.edu.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations, and that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org.
Are you one of the 1.32 billion Facebook users? More importantly, do you follow Worldwide KFUO on Facebook? When you follow KFUO, you'll learn about upcoming programs and guests. You'll see pictures of the studio and live KFUO events. Go to facebook.com/KFUO radio and click the like button. Then share us with your friends and follow along throughout the day. Liking KFUO radio on Facebook will help you share the faith with your friends and keeps you up to date on what's going on at Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today, we are talking with our friends from Humanitree. We're talking with Amy Kaufman, Director of Development, and Sharon Rohrbach, Interim Executive Director at Humanitree. And before we went to break, we were talking about what is Humanitree and how do you go about caring for people through Humanitree. And we briefly alluded to earlier that Amy, that you have a story of how you got connected with Humanitree, and I know that we're short on time, and so you can't pack one person's life into just a few minutes on a Tuesday morning. But I think we'll have an opportunity down the road to share your whole story. But give us an idea of what your story is, and why Humanitree is important.
Well, I had become homeless in 1999. I was fleeing a domestic violence situation. I had three small children and had no idea that Humanitree existed, that transitional housing existed, and I didn't know what to do or where to go. My life and my children's lives were threatened. A coworker had informed me about a shelter. I called. I was able to get into that shelter. The stay was 90 days. When you go into a shelter, you pretty much have to just pack up and leave. So how to put your life back together in 90 days was very scary. I didn't know what we were going to do after that 90 days. And I heard about transitional housing. And that transitional housing probably saved my life, because had I not had the opportunity to go, I probably would have went back to the abuser, and I don't know what would have happened. So that's why I am very passionate about our mission and what we do and how we are able to help people. I was able to get into transitional housing, and I always had a job, so I was able to keep my job and get my children settled in school. They were able to help me. My daughter, she needed an IEP. She was born premature, so they were able to help me and walk me through those steps. And in the process of 2 years, I paid down a lot of debt, because when you leave a domestic violence situation, I didn't do the steps I guess you're supposed to do as far as cutting off utilities or anything like that. Mm. So I had all of that in my name. He didn't pay any of those bills. I left my car behind, had a repossession there because he could track me through my car. So I had to pay off all of those bills. And I still had enough saved up to purchase my own home at the end of those 24 months. So I know that Humanitree works, and I know that there are other individuals out there who are in a situation like I was in. They're in it right now at this moment, and we can be here to help them, and we need to be here to help them.
Man, what a story. Sharon, you're nodding your head, and when you hear that story, what is that? What does that mean to you and why you do what you do?
Well, you know, it really is touching to hear from a person who has been in one of the worst situations you could ever find yourself as a mother. And I have four kids, so, you know, I can't imagine. And so, you know, it makes me want to do everything possible to make sure that humanity survives and thrives and is there. And, you know, I really want to sort of re-involve the Lutheran community. We're an RSO, but we don't have a lot of Lutheran support. And we had Alan Zacharias, a consultant out of Chicago, come and talk to the Lutheran community. And most people didn't know who we are. So we so much appreciate the opportunity to be on KFUO. And we hope that we can come back, because we'd really like to reengage our fellow Lutherans, because this is really the Lord's work. And it's so important. And it's our opportunity to share with our Lutheran brethren how they can help.
Well, let's talk about that. It must take an army to do what you do. what are the needs when it comes to humanity in terms of donations and volunteers, all those things that it takes for you to do what you've set out to do as humanity? Amy?
I would say right now our biggest and number one need is probably storage. We own 34 housing units, and we have to furnish those units from everything. When you come from a shelter or off the street, you have nothing.
Yeah.
You have maybe a bag of belongings. So we need everything. We have to provide them everything. Their beds, their sheets, their linens, cups, everything, pots, pans. And we do get large donations in that, but we don't have anywhere to store it. So if we don't have an empty unit in which to put the items into, to stage, we don't have anywhere to keep those items. So I would say storage is our number one. Cleaning supplies, trash bags, paper products, Rubbermaid tubs, kitchen and bath towels, microwaves, new twin and full-size mattresses, and new and twin-size bedding, along with pillows, pillowcases, Ziploc bags. I would say one of my clients, she was just amazed. We had got a donation of Ziploc bags, freezer bags, and she loved them. She, you know, she couldn't really afford to go out and get them on her own, but any type of food storage containers, it really helps the families to cook in the house and then be able to save that food and reheat it later on instead of maybe discarding it. So those are some of our major items that we are in need of right now.
So anything to basically things that you would use to establish a home that are new or in very
slightly
good condition.
Good condition, yes.
A lot of those things that you would use to start your home would be, it sounds like, would be useful.
Yes.
And those are the things that Amy sees from the program standpoint, but from the executive director viewpoint, we need churches who will actually adopt a house and have groups in the church support that house, that family. We need churches who will invite us to speak, either at the congregational level or at a group somewhere in the church that would love to hear the humanity story. We need donors. We need cash donations very, very much. And really introductions so that people know that we're out there.
Yeah, when it comes to the donations for our transitional housing, we don't just place a family in that house with all the everything they need. We provide the heat, the electric, all of that is costly for 34 housing units.
Wow.
So, yeah, and we have
repairs.
Yes, some repairs. Our units range from one bedroom all the way to five.
Wow. And so the units are around St. Louis, St. Louis City, St. Louis County?
They are scattered throughout St. Louis City and St. Louis County, yes.
So it's really serving, it sounds like a broad area. When it...
Yes, and that's actually, when I had gone through the program, I had actually chosen this program for that reason, mm-hmm. because we are scattered site, or they are scattered site throughout the city in different areas, and you don't know when you pass by that that is a program house. Nobody knows mm-hmm. on the street that that's a program house, and that is really something for an individual self-esteem, just sure. coming from the street, coming into shelter, being in this program. Everyone knows it's a shelter. They know when you walk in there, you're probably a client. So to go into a house that nobody around you knows is a program, it just brings that instant mm-hmm. Self-confidence, I guess, that nobody else knows. This sure. is just your own secret and your journey that you can go through. But the whole world doesn't need to know that you're going through it.
Right. Yeah. So how can, do you need volunteers for anything?
Yes. With having those 34 units, as Sharon had stated, they do need repair. Mm-hmm. So anybody who is handy, whether it's an individual or a group who can just painting, mm-hmm. Minor repairs, minor maintenance repairs, even some major repairs if somebody out there is that handy. Mm-hmm. Lawn care, spring and summer is coming up, and we only have 2 maintenance men. So to provide lawn care for all of those units can be very time consuming. So anybody out there who wants to come, you know, cut their lawn and then bring mm-hmm. the lawnmower over to our unit and cut ours, that would be great. We also have mailings that we'll be putting out. So we have items that need to be folded, labeled, and stuffed and sealed. So, yeah, we're looking for volunteers in that manner. And then also I would say volunteers to hold third-party
events.
Yes.
We love volunteers who are fun-loving volunteers that want to do things like a trivia night, mm-hmm. bake sales, men's club barbecues,
sure.
all of those things that we just have Amy for development, and we have such a small staff that we can't really hold events ourselves because mm-hmm. we just don't have enough staff. We're stretched way too thin, and so we're looking at our Lutheran community and asking them if they have like a lot of group members to please consider having events that would benefit
sure.
Humanitry.
It could be something as simple as you said, as a bake sale, or as extravagant as a big event, like a trivia night or something
yes.
like that.
Yes. Chili dinners. Mm-hmm. I know men's club at Christ Memorial cooks all kinds of things. So I don't know. And I was just at Gethsemane Lutheran at a sausage dinner. So I'm thinking Lutherans might like to have
like to
food
eat.
Events. But we would love it if there could be a free will offering or something to come to Humanitree when churches do those things.
Sure, that's a great idea. Wonderful. Well, how can we find out more about Humanitree? How can we get connected to Humanitree in order to do those types of things, to volunteer, to make donations, to come over and mow a lawn this coming summer?
We have our website. It's still in the process, so it's still being worked on, but mm-hmm. the basics are on there at this moment, which is www.humanitree.org. And then we also have our email, humanitree@humanitree.org.
I think we should, for our guests listening, we should probably spell Humanitree.
Yeah. Humanitree is HUMANITRI.
Humanitree. Now, does anybody know the history of that name or what it means? Okay,
yes.
Sharon.
So, Lutheran Foundation helped to put together 3 Lutheran social service mm-hmm. organizations. One was Good Samaritan, which mm-hmm. I think had the transitional
yes,
housing.
Good Samaritan Service Center.
And then there was the Jail Chaplaincy and Friends of Moms. And so the idea was that it was 3 human services organizations, and so they called it human, mm-hmm. a tree, meaning a trio of,
right.
of human service organizations.
Very creative.
Yes.
So, again, the website?
It's www.humanitree.org.
Very good. HUMANITRI.org. You can find information there, and you mentioned email address as well?
Yes, email is humanitree@humanitree.org. Mm-hmm. And then we also have our phone number, which is 314-772-7222. 7720. And I also just quickly want to mention that we did move to a new office location. So we are now located at 1447 East Grand, St. Louis, Missouri, 63107.
Very good. So on East Grand,
yes,
in St. Louis. Well, you mentioned events. So I gather you don't have any big events. You guys are sticking to doing what you do every day.
We don't have the staff to do any events, but we desperately need the revenue that comes from events.
Sure.
Yes.
So what we're saying is, it would be great if someone would contact you to schedule a big event so we would have something to add to our conversation next time.
Absolutely. And we can send Amy as a speaker, too.
Exactly. Well, thank you all for taking some time to share with us today about Humanitree and the great work that you're doing. Keep up the great work, and the Lord bless you in all that you're doing. Thanks for being our guest today here on His Time. Our guest today, Amy Kaufman, Director of Development for Humanitree. Amy, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Andy.
And Sharon Rohrbach, Interim Executive Director at Humanitree. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Stanis Stanley. Hope you can join us for that and more His Time, all coming up right after AP Radio News here on Worldwide KFUO.